We talk Cleveland Cavaliers basketball with Rick Nolan of the Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Rick, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. How are you?
I am well. How about you?
So far, so good. Cavaliers continue to be red hot, even though the winning streak did come to a close on that buzzer beater in Indianapolis back on Friday. The Cavs were able to rebound and win the very next night in a come-from-behind effort over the 76ers. They are playing extraordinarily well right now, and I think, you know, the obvious answer is always going to be LeBron to this question, and that would be, you know, who is playing really, really well right now. But if you were to go a little bit deeper throughout the course of this streak, who do you think has played really, really well, but maybe been overlooked a little bit?
I'd start with Jeff Green, probably. He's been very solid off the bench, as have all their reserves. Kyle Korver, Dwayne Wade, Channing Frye. They've been terrific. Outside of LeBron, they were the main reason the Cavs won that game Saturday against Philadelphia. They've been getting good play from a lot of people, Andy. You know, Love, aside from missing Saturday, has been very solid most nights. J.R. Smith has been okay. Crowder, I thought, had his best game of the season Saturday, not because he scored 12 points, but because he got 5 rebounds and he got on the floor and made some aggressive plays that I honestly thought we would have seen a lot more of to this point. So hopefully that's a trend that will continue. It's basically been a team-wide effort due to some basic things. They're playing harder. They're concentrating more. They're going through the motions less often. They've really picked up their defense. And when they have had breakdowns, they've made them in a way, a kind of a designed way, to where the guy you most want to have an open shot ends up getting it oftentimes. So it's been an extremely, extremely successful stretch for them. And it's going on, you know, they've won 14 of their last 15. So they are, you know, there's tons of reasons to be optimistic, and Tristan's probably going to come back tomorrow. Isaiah Thomas may beat that January target date and play sometime prior to the end of the year. So more talent is coming, and the next task is to blend that talent and maximize it without losing the cohesiveness that they've displayed over the last 15 games.
You mentioned the play of Crowder and just how good he has been. And that gets me to thinking, you know, when Tristan Thompson comes back, and by all accounts, it sounds like that's going to be tomorrow night against the Hawks, does he come off the bench? Does he not start? I mean, only because they're playing so well without him. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's missed 19 games. Well, you go back 19 games, you just mentioned it. They've won 14 out of 15. This streak began shortly after he left. And I'm not saying that he was the source of their early season struggles, but you wonder how Tristan Thompson affects the rotation when he comes back.
Yeah, they were 3-5 when he got hurt. They've been 16-3 since. They went 1-1 the first two games he was out, to fall to 5-7, actually 2-2 to get to 5-7, and then reeled off these wins. He's definitely going to come off the bench. Ty Lue came out and said it directly. There's no way they're going to change their starting lineup with Love playing so well at center and Crowder and LeBron starting to mesh at the forward spots. The interesting thing is going to be to see how Ty Lue adds another player, because he's not going to take anyone currently in the rotation out of it, which means he's going to be trying to play Channing Frye and Tristan off the bench. Channing is really, I think, you know, although his numbers aren't always overwhelming or even eye-catching, he's been a huge key to that second unit, because he's a floor spacer who you cannot leave, which gives Dwayne Wade so much more room to operate, Jeff Green so much more room to attack the basket. It's going to look a lot different, I think, during the minutes Tristan gets. And I think they have to give him minutes, because he's proven for, you know, the last 3 years that he's been a key component of some of their postseason success. But regular season wise, I don't think he's going to get nearly the minutes he was getting prior to getting hurt. We may see him, you know, in 8 to 14 minute increments, depending on how he's playing, because that's the only way that can be done if you're also going to continue to use Channing Frye with that unit. So hopefully, you know, more is more, but we'll have to see. It's going to be a fine line that they're going to have to walk with, you know, trying to play 10 guys and not making guys less productive because they're having less time to get in the flow, if that makes any sense. It's something I think Ty Lue is fully aware of. He's thinking, you know, his mind is likely on two different things. One, I want to maintain and continue to grow what they've had going the last month. But he also has to know that at some point Tristan is likely to be needed in a much bigger way, particularly in the postseason when everyone knows everybody's plays, the scores start to drop, the possessions take longer. And those offensive rebounds that Tristan can get, the ability to defend in interior and on the perimeter, is going to be needed. So he's going to have to get him back into playing shape, and he's going to have to maximize his strengths while not affecting some of the strengths that developed while he was out. So something we're going to start to see tomorrow against Atlanta, and I'll be interested to see how it pans out the next 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Well, Rick, you kind of took what I was going to ask you there for a second, but then I got to thinking, you got Isaiah Thomas still to return, perhaps Derrick Rose at some point down the line. Has this become a Cavaliers team with a little too much talent done? I mean, at some point, you don't want to mess too much with your rotation and everything go in. Will there be moves made at some point with everyone here?
Well, you know, I don't know that you're going to make any big moves when you're 14-1 over your last five games, but they do have a lot of players who are deserving of minutes, but unfortunately not all of them are going to get them. That's just part of the situation they're in. You can never have too much talent, but you have to make the right decisions on how to use that talent. You know, down the road, when Isaiah is ready to play, you know, we're likely to see Jose Calderon going from being a starter to not playing at all. Derrick Rose, I haven't, you know, spent a lot of time trying to figure out how he fits, because it could be a while still, and surgery is still a possibility, we've learned recently. So, I don't think you're even thinking about how he fits in right now. But, you know, I think Isaiah, as soon as he gets on the floor, he may come off the bench the first couple, 3, 4 nights. But you know he's going to be your starter in the playoffs, and you got to get him in there at some point. So he's going to be the starter, you know, barring a setback. You know, and then you got Iman Shumpert coming back in a month and a half, and how are you going to use him? So it's going to be there's going to be some trial by error, but we'll have to see. You know, because in the playoffs, I mean, you're talking about they have 11, 12, 13 guys that could play for most teams, and in the playoffs you rarely play beyond 8. They may go 9. That would be an exception, but it's a lot of things that Ty Lue is going to have to weigh and jockey. I don't think he can worry about keeping guys happy. He just has to trust in those guys being professional. And even Tristan said today, if he doesn't play and they're winning, he's fine with that. He's about winning. Nobody remembers second place, and he'll be perfectly happy, he said, you know, cheering from the bench. So you have to bank on that attitude, and I think in the Calderon they have a guy like that. In Fry they have a guy like that. So I don't think that there's going to be a mutiny at any point, but some guys are going to be doing a lot of sitting who would play, you know, in the rotation for a lot of other teams.
Again, we're talking with Rick Noland, Cavs beat reporter for the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, you mentioned something interesting there about how a lot of guys are going to have to adapt that mentality. Guys who are used to playing big minutes, maybe not playing much, or in some cases, as you mentioned, not playing at all. You think it's easier to get guys to buy into that? Everybody wants to play, especially on a team like this, a championship caliber club. But do you think it's easier to get guys to buy into that, especially when you've got 23 on your side? Because it really kind of seems like when you watch them play on the floor, obviously he makes everybody around him better. But it seems like that goes beyond the floor with him as well. And sometimes that can be an aspect of his game that to some degree gets overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I have never seen LeBron play better, and this is his 15th year. It's as good as I've ever seen him. He's added to his game. He's learned to make things a little less physically demanding on him by incorporating a little more mid-range shooting and, you know, career-high three-point shooting. So, yeah, I think beyond LeBron, though, is just it's easier to accept when you're winning. You know, the Cavs just went 16-3 without Tristan Thompson. So, you know, he doesn't have a strong case for saying, hey, you have to play me. When you've shown you can be really, really, really good without him. And I think he realizes that. So, you know, other players are gonna be in that position soon. So, I mean, winning cures a lot of things, and they also have a very, very, very good locker room. You know, tons of players in this league say the right thing and then pout when they're not in front of a camera or a notepad or a tape recorder. But this team, I think, is generally, they believe that. It's a good group of high-character guys who, you know, a lot of them came here voluntarily because they wanted to compete for an NBA championship, and they have that opportunity. And, you know, most of them have been around this league long enough to know that while I may not be getting as much opportunity as I would like now, that can change in an instant if I keep myself in shape, if I keep myself ready. The time's going to come when I'll get a chance over 82 games and then, you know, 25 more playoff games. And I have to commend them. It's a professional group with a professional team-first attitude. And it's refreshing to see in the world of pro sports today.
How much of what you just mentioned there weighed in, do you think, into the decision of Derrick Rose to come back? Because there were these reports out there that he was tinkering with the idea of just hanging him up because it's become so difficult to come back after all of these injuries. But with an environment like that, you got to believe that to at least some degree, that weighed in a little on his decision to come back.
Yeah, I mean, he's never been in an NBA final game, so I'm sure he would love to do that, you know. While he completely and rather vehemently denied that the $70 million he has on the table with a shoe contract through Adidas had anything to do with it, I'm not buying that for one second. I think $70 million is $70 million, no matter how much money you already have. You just don't walk away from that. But the thing with Derrick Rose is if he ends up having surgery on what he revealed was a bone spur in his foot, you know, it could be, you know, several months or longer till he comes back. I'm not a doctor and I don't know, but, you know, it's been over a month since he's been hurt and he's not close to ready. So, he's an interesting guy that I haven't really got to know too well because he hasn't been around a whole lot, and they don't make players available to us when they are injured. So, you know, what exactly makes him tick, I'm not sure. But again, you know, he's on a successful team. He was a starter until he got hurt on that team. And if he can get back to 100%, he's going to be the backup point guard when Isaiah's ready and he's ready. So he knew that when he, you know, early in the season, as soon as IT was traded here, he knew that was going to be his role. So that's what he signed up for, and I'm sure he would like to contribute and get healthy and you know, get on the floor and be a part of the actual happenings of it rather than just a spectator for most of it, which is what he's been so far.
Tomorrow night, the Cavaliers take on the Atlanta Hawks. Is it just me and Matt, or does it seem like the Cavs have played the Hawks 17 times already this season?
You know, the weird thing is, does it seem to you guys like they've had just a zillion easy games?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
A lot of Hawks and Sixers.
You know, it's I think part of that stems from the fact that there aren't very many really good teams in the NBA anymore. And some of the teams that have pretty decent records have historically been bad teams, like Orlando and the Detroits and the, you know, even the Brooklyns, who are bad again, but for a while they were decent. So, you know, that middle pack to below the middle pack is they've changed the order a little bit, but there's even more teams in it now than there used to be. You know, but they haven't really, you know, they haven't seen the San Antonios or the, you know, the Golden States yet. They haven't seen Toronto yet, I don't believe, either, if memory serves. So there'll be some harder tests. But, yeah, you're right. It seems like we've had a lot of games in that Hawks, Nets, Magic, Pistons, Grizzlies area of the league where you're talking about either non-playoff teams or first-round playoff losers, and not a whole lot of the team of the eight teams in this league that are going to win a playoff series. They haven't played a ton of those yet.
Yeah, and it sure seems like a lot of those games are saved for later on in the year, and especially in the second half of the season. We'll certainly look forward to seeing what the Cavaliers bring to the table against the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow night. Rick, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you, as always, for your time. We'll do it again soon.
Not a problem. Pray that snow doesn't get too bad, because at my age, I don't enjoy those drives from Medina to Cleveland so much anymore.
No, I don't blame you. You got to get in talks with Dan Gilbert to see if he can get you a private jet.
Yeah, let's look into that.
we'll see if we can make a couple phone calls for you.
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Nolan, Cavs beat reporter for the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette.